maximum, she wants to use you as an informal sugar daddy.
Right. Yep.
Just basically use you for access to your financial resources and material possessions. And so to touch on, well, first I want to preface my comments about that situation, man. I don't trust the Kardashians, man.
Right.
And what I mean is that I believe almost everything they do is a calculated marketing ploy.
Right.
So when I hear news stories about them, man, I'm weary because I just feel like, man, they'll do anything to just keep their name in the news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to give it to them, man. The mother, man.
Yeah, she a hustler.
Say what you want to about that bitch, but she's a brilliant businesswoman.
Yeah, no doubt.
she know that the average motherfucker in society loves to gossip about other people's lives.
Yep.
And loves to pay attention. There's people in society who love to pay attention to other people's lives more than they do shit to do with their own life.
No doubt.
And Kris Jenner realized that. Now, to get my brief comments on it, man, bottom line, under normal circumstances, if Rob Kardashian was assistant shift manager at Arby's, he wouldn't be able to smell Black China's pussy.
Right. Yep.
He wouldn't be able to smell that shit, man.
Right.
And, but because he's in that Kardashian clan, he got access to some millions. Of course she gonna, you know, throw some pussy at him so she can use the motherfucker. But she, as it came out, even before the shit when it came out, I knew she was fucking other motherfuckers.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that was obvious. I'm like, motherfuckers don't think that she, you know, making her rounds, you know, jumping on different dicks. That was obvious, man.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to be naive. And see, going back to my book, matter of fact, I was talking about, man, a lot of guys who read that particular book, man, The Possibility of Sex, man, I had some guys who said that book left them, like, depressed, dejected, hateful towards women. Because, among other things, what I broke down in that book is, just because a woman agrees to be your wife, your fiance or your long-term girlfriend don't mean you are number one dick choice.
Wow.
I said particularly if you got money.
Wow.
I basically told all motherfuckers, if you balling, be wary.
Right.
You know, if in a situation where when you was making $50,000 a year, a chick named Rhonda was giving you attention, and now you're making $250,000 a year, Rhonda's still giving you attention. You don't need to be worried about that because she was with you. But if when you was making $50,000 a year, Regina wouldn't even give you a two-minute conversation. Now all of a sudden you're making $250,000 a year, yeah. Regina all over your face.
Yeah.
You got to recognize that shit.
Right.
That bitch ain't with you because you all of a sudden became sexy. She with you because you're now a target. That's what I call guys like that. You're a target. She wants access to your financial resources and your material possessions. And if she has to, she'll give up the pussy, not because she really wants you fucking her.
Right.
But that's her price for gaining access to your shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what some guys need to... That's what I basically broke down in The Possibility of Sex. That I basically said, a lot of you married guys who think your wife, you are number one favorite sex partner? No, you ain't. You fucking some motherfucker on the side.
Oh. Why you gotta go
ahead and say that? A lot of guys can handle that, man. A lot of guys can handle that shit.
Man, boy, that's brutal, son. That's brutal. Oh, that hurts. Oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I can attest to that, man. The stuff that I've seen, stuff that I done dealt with. Because one thing that you said that was really poignant and really true... I was watching one of your videos and you said you don't really know women and you don't really know how they get down until you've been the side dude or the other dude.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, man, he ain't never lied, man, because you really get to see how they get down. You really get to see what they about. You really get to peek behind the veil, man. You know what I mean? There's a lot of cats out here that got steady women, girlfriends, wives, whatever. That they don't have a clue as to what they woman really want, what she really about, what she'll really do, what she'll really get into. I mean, she'll tell the side dude everything, her deepest, darkest desires, man. I mean, it's just been mind-boggling to see what these women do right, behind the backs of these so-called men that they love, man. I was like, wow, boy, it's like a Fight Club. It's like a Matrix deal, man, where you just can't believe that this is actually going on, but you can never really fathom it until you, just like you said, until you that other guy, that side dude, man. So, yeah, that's one thing that Mr. Curry hit on real hard and fast, man. I can't lie about that one.
Yeah, man, I mean, I tell guys all the time, man, like you just said, I mean, I want to say, you know, you probably heard me use this term on my video podcast when I always say women's true nature, and mm-hmm. I would say that's when I first got my eyes open to women's true nature, man, mm-hmm. is the first time, actually, for me, it actually started in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, yeah, my senior in high school, man, probably at least one-third of the women I fucked, my senior in high school was women who had boyfriends.
Right.
And they were just stupid. What was sad, what put me in a real awkward position, man, I even had some of my own boys, man, like the girlfriends of dudes who was like friends of mine.
Right. Yep.
Was throwing pussy at me, man. Yeah, man. And I was like, damn. Because at the time, I was kind of naive to it. I was like, damn, are women this scandalous and shit?
Right.
Mm. And then for the next roughly 20 years or so, man, I had different, like one of the worst stalkers I ever had in my life was a woman who was married.
Yeah.
This bitch stalked me like Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction, man. But just real quick to reiterate on that point, I don't want to, because you pretty much covered it all, but yeah, the thing about being a woman's other man, that's when you're going to get a woman's most absolute real side.
Right.
Because there's really no motivation for her to put on any type of, like, facade for you.
Yep.
Or to lie to you or play games with you. Because the motherfucker who she's cheating on, that's who she's doing all that shit with, putting right. on the facade for, lying to him, misleading him. But when you a woman's other dick, she's going to be 110% real with you about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there would be women I would fuck who were bisexual, and they would say to me, my own husband don't even know I'm bisexual.
Yep.
I'm up here having threesomes with a dude's wife
yeah.
and one of her girlfriends, and her old husband don't even know she bisexual.
Man. Oh, man. It's diabolical, man. I'm trying to tell you, boy. They only knew. Ah. Woo.
Man, that's why. I'll say the fucked up thing about it for a guy like me and probably most guys in that situation is that you have some guys in life who have a low degree of trust towards women because they've been cheated on,
mm-hmm.
and then you got guys like me who many times have a low degree of trust on women because they've been cheated with.
Yep. That's where
it's
I'm
like
at.
When you see a woman you fuck saying like 6 p.m. on a Friday, and then at 9 p.m. on that same night you're at a social function, you see her smooshed up with her husband, you just shake your head and say, God damn, man, my dick was in her mouth just 3 hours ago.
Oh my God, man. I'll be trying to tell all the fellas, man, on this podcast. I'll be like, man, you don't know how deep the rabbit hole go. I'll be like, shoot, you don't know how many times a female done left my spot and then went back home, man, and got on Facebook and kissing her dude all in the mouth. And I'll be like, oh, my God. I like, Jesus, man, he don't know. He just don't know what she was doing with that mouth, man, you know? And just like you said, it's like I got a low degree of trust of women because, you know, I was the dude that they was cheating with, not necessarily being cheated on. You know, it's like, man, yep. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I know how to get down, man. Oh, it's horrifying. Mm. Yeah, this is the same kind of dude that they, you know, these dudes are going to work every day. They help them pay the bills. You know what I mean? They tolerating, you know, the attitudes and the nonsense, man. And, you know, it's like, you know, to a degree, in my older age, I'm beginning to feel bad about it. You know what I mean? So I don't slow down. But, man, yeah, a lot of stuff that you say hits home, man. I'll be like, wow. Like,
see, you're just like me. You see, you play that as you get older. Like, I made a point of saying in one of my video podcasts that for the most part, since I've been in my 40s and now I'm in my 50s,
mm-hmm.
I've had a handful of slip ups, but right. Generally now I don't fuck with other dudes, women.
Right.
Because I just think it's like, I got a brother, man, he's all about karma. He's always like, man, that shit track bad karma into your life. Mm. And so I try to stay away from it now, but yeah, man, from like the age of roughly 17 to about, I don't know, 37, 38, 39, man, yeah, I probably fucked about 40 women that had a husband, a fiance, or a long-term boyfriend. But yeah, man, now that I'm a dating coach, and that's why I came out with the Possibility of Sex, even though it left some guys depressed and dejected, it's like, I want to let guys know I'm empathetic to you. Because at first, when I was younger, I'll admit, I didn't give a fuck about the guys who were being cheated on.
Right.
I didn't care.
Okay.
As long as I was getting the pussy, I didn't give a fuck about them. But as I got older, and definitely as I became, got into my career as a dating coach, I genuinely did empathize with those guys. I was like, it's fucked up. These women out here just running game on these motherfuckers, making them think they in love with these dudes. These motherfuckers are fucking on them behind their back, left and right.
Damn. Shoot. All right, well, check it out, man. Oh, my God, man. Okay, this is going to be rehashed for you, I know, man. But, for the listeners, we got to go back to the genesis of this so we can make some sense about what's going on, okay? What happened between you and Obsidian? For those who don't know, yes, please go to YouTube and type in Obsidian Radio if you do not know and understand what's going on here. You know what I mean? We're going to have to recap the situation. So tell me, what was the gist of the schism?
Well, I'm going to try my best to keep most of what I say centering around factual shit and not just my opinion on shit and my interpretation of shit, but I know that's going to come in at different points.
Right.
But it started in fall of 2015, almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Either he himself or one of his followers or one of my followers, I can't remember how it happened, but somebody tagged me on Twitter to a podcast of his where he said, it was titled something to the effect, Alan Roger Curry Doesn't Speak to Me.
Okay.
And sometimes when people send me shit like that, honestly, I just ignore it. Mm-hmm. But I said, okay, I'll go check this out, see what this brother talking about. I don't know who this brother is, but I'll check and see what he's talking about. And so he starts basically talking about me. I mean, he didn't personally attack me, but he tried to paint me as this very upper middle class bougie type brother who can't relate to the brother from the street.
Okay.
And can't relate to the brother who never went to college. And he was like, yeah, he may be a successful dating coach, but he ain't somebody I would seek dating advice to because he doesn't speak to the everyday brother.
Okay.
And I came back at him hard. I was basically like, motherfucker, you don't know me.
It's 2015.
You don't know who I'm around, who I'm cool with, nigga. You don't know me.
Wait.
What you talking?
Hey, wait, you said this is back in 2015?
Yeah, this was fall of 2015.
Damn, okay. I didn't know that happened. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I came back at him hard. I was basically like, dude, don't speculate on who you think I am. All right. I ain't with motherfuckers do that shit. All
right.
Don't speculate on who you think I am, what type of brother you think I am. I was like, shit, you don't know me, dude.
Okay.
I got a bottle of Jamie Foxx line. Jamie Foxx did it to you one time. He said, I hang around with some classy brothers. And then he said, I hang around with some other niggas that don't have social security numbers.
Okay. Right. No doubt.
I would put myself in that category. I got a wide range of brothers I interface with. So don't try to paint me as a Theo Huxtable type motherfucker. Uh-huh. So anyway, to my pleasant surprise, he issued an apology podcast. It's still up. I saw it a couple weeks ago.
All right.
Called Apology to Alan Roger Curry. And he basically apologizes to me. He says, I was wrong when I watched Cut. You know, I thought he was one of them uppity bougie type brothers, but he's not. He seems like he's a real down to earth type brother. Mm-hmm. So I told him I appreciated that apology. Then I really didn't pay attention to him for the next few weeks. And then this guy named Alex, who was a longtime follower and fan of my show, Upfront and Straightforward on Blog Talk Radio, I had for 9 years. I ended that in mid-June of last year, 2016. He ended up connecting with Obsidian because they both live in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And Alex wrote me on Facebook and said, you remember that guy, Obsidian, who went after you and then gave you an apology? I said, yeah. He said, man, you need to pay attention to this podcast because they be promoting your stuff big time. I said, really? Mm-hmm. He said, oh, yeah, man, his last two or three podcasts, man, he, like, gave your books, like, big dap. He was promoting you. I said, shit, let me go check him out then. Sure enough, man, he was on his show like, move on, you know? He was saying, yeah, y'all got to check out Alan Roger Curry, check him out. You know, Mo 1 is the shit. Well, actually, the first book he heavily promoted on the show was actually not Mo 1. It was the book I was talking about, Lord, Possibility Set. Mm-hmm. That was the book he said that really caught his eye, that he was really feeling me on. He loved Possibility Set. That centers around all the women who are manipulative time-waster types and just basic women who ain't about shit. And then the second book he started filling was, I came out with a book just last summer called The Beta Male Revolution. Mm-hmm. Why women, why men are losing interest in marriage.
All right.
And then, so he really promoted those two books before he started promoting Mo 1, but then, you know, he would definitely be giving my chant, Mo 1. Yeah, I started listening to a lot of his shit, and for no other reason, because he was always promoting my shit. And again, I didn't even ask him to do that.
Okay.
So then behind the scenes, he started throwing out business propositions to me. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, Alan, man, I want to sell Mo 1 t-shirts. Would you be willing to give me permission to print Mo 1 t-shirt? Because I know a guy here in Philadelphia that does t-shirts and prints, you know, t-shirts with logos, and I would love to sell some Mo 1 t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I said, I already did that for about a year, and, you know, they didn't really take off, so okay. You know, I don't really want to do that again. He's like, no, man, we should do it again. Then that conversation kind of faded out. Then the second thing he was like, he said, I would love to bring you to Philadelphia and have you do a book signing for The Possibility of Sex. Man, that's such a great book, man. I would love you to do a book signing, man. I want to do a whole episode just on The Possibility of Sex. Mm. And I said, I don't really do book signings anymore, but I said, you know, I'm all about, you know, if you want to help me promote that book, I'm all about you. And he told me he was going to buy a whole bunch of copies of my paperback, but he never did.
Okay.
In the final business proposition, I remember he said he wanted to potentially do a documentary with me somewhere down the line.
Okay.
About the dating scene and the black community. And see, I had already tried to do my own documentary. I had a documentary outline called Chasm.
All right.
That was going to talk about the growing animosity between black men and black women. And I even did a crowdfunding campaign, but I didn't get the money I wanted to get, so I dropped it. So anyway, so you can say things were going fairly well in our interaction. Mm-hmm. And I would say the first hiccup that happened, at least on my end, was when he fell out. He ended up falling out with Angry Man and O'Shea Duke Jackson.
Right.
And honestly, I thought it was some petty shit. Mm-hmm. Particularly on Obsidian's end. Mm-hmm. More so than on Angry Man's end or O'Shea's end. You know, I just thought it was petty, and I told him.
Okay.
And so, yeah, man, that was the first thing that made me start looking at him different. Like, okay, let me reexamine who this dude is. All
right.
And then second thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, he went after this chick who I had on my show, on my blog and radio show, named Sophia A. Nelson.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I don't particularly care for this sister, man. She's a different type of sister. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but man, he went after her like,
Pitbull on stage.
Oh, man. You were not thinking like,
I heard that one.
Oh, dude, man. Yeah. Hey, I'll say this, man. I told O'Shea, I said, man, you're a better man than me, dude. But I was just waiting for O'Shea, man, to just go the fuck off. Because I was probably like 5 seconds away from going the fuck off on Obsidian, man. Oh,
man.
And it wasn't even my show.
Right.
I was just a guest. But I was going to go off on him, man. And I did. After the show, I called him.
Mm.
I said, dude, what the fuck was up with that, man?
Mm.
What was up with you asking me all them questions like it was your show?
Yeah.
And his defense was, he said he cleared it with O'Shea before that. He said O'Shea knew that was going to go down.
Okay.
I said, you sure? He's like, yeah, man. He said, I didn't just bum rush his show like that. He said, I cleared that. I told O'Shea that I had about 10 or 15 or more questions to ask you. And he said, he claims that O'Shea, now, honestly, I don't want to get into that. He said, this. O'Shea said that ain't 100% true.
Okay.
He said, yes, he knew he did clear with him to ask a few questions, but not like the way Obsidian did.
Mm.
But yeah, that left a real bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I think I heard that one, man.
Towards Obsidian.
Yeah, he took over. I
looked at him totally different. I was just like, that was some foul shit, man.
Mm.
I didn't like it at all. Not even so much of how it affected me, because, again, I was a guest.
Yeah.
I didn't like how it made O'Shea look.
Yeah.
You know, I was more empathetic for him. I didn't like how that made, I mean, because, again, if that was my show, dude, I would have hung up on his ass so quick.
Mm.
Even if I could send him somewhere else to it. So then, here's the final thing, the big thing that led to. So I do this video podcast. It's entitled, I don't know if you can get it for free now, because I've moved some of my stuff over to Patreon. You got to be a Patreon subscriber to some of my videos now.
Okay.
But I had this video I did called Direct versus Indirect and Preventing Date Rape Charges.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular podcast, you know, Mo 1 is about being very verbally direct. And I talked about that in contrast to, like, a lot of pickup artists teach more of a methods that sit around being verbally indirect. And one of the arguments I made was, I said, when you indirect and say a woman got alcohol in her system, and you say you take advantage of her and fuck her, I said, the way society is today, in this day and age,
mm-hmm.
you almost asking for a false date rape charge.
Right.
Bitches will call, cry date rape in a second on you.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that they didn't give you verbal consent, and on top of that, they know that there was alcohol in their system, man, even if the case goes to trial that they don't win, just the fact that they can charge you with that shit, I don't even want a woman to fucking charge me with date rape.
Yep, yep.
So that was one strong point I made. I told guys, hey, you all are grown men, but if you want my advice, never, the very first time you fuck a woman, you shouldn't fuck a woman with alcohol in her body. You should make sure she's completely sober. And secondly, you should make sure that you told that woman directly, verbally, I want to fuck you, or I want to have sex with you. And that she has clearly said, yes, that's what I want you to do. So then you can throw that back in her face if she tried to accuse you of date rape. And then, so that was one thing. A city came in my comment section and disagreed with that. And even more so, I made a point about it. And this is a point I've always made. I make this point in workshops. Like at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about rejection. I was saying, oh, help me overcome that fear of rejection. I said, some of you guys, I noticed a lot of you guys, y'all cannot handle rejection. Maybe it's just an issue of you scared of it or you dislike it. You literally can't handle rejection. Like, you feel like you're entitled to women's companionship.
Right.
I said, like, guy like George Sodin killed people in a suburb of Pittsburgh because he couldn't tolerate rejection.
Right.
He couldn't handle rejection. I said, same thing with Elliot Rodgers. I said, he it ain't something he just disliked. He literally cannot handle rejection. So he went out and killed motherfuckers. And I said, some of you motherfuckers who can't handle rejection, y'all on that path. So Obsidian comes in my comment section and says, Alan, I'm going to play devil's advocate. And he puts some kind of smiley face. Mm-hmm. He said, I like to go against the grain, so even though you and I are cool, I'm going to go against the grain of some shit you said. He said, one, I disagree with your thing about the alcohol and the date rape. You know, women accuse you of date rape for anything. So it don't matter if she got alcohol or doesn't have alcohol or if you're direct or indirect. Women, if they want you, they just going to charge you with date rape anyway. And I have my response to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and says, Elliot Rodgers has a right to his preferences. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? He says, what I said, Elliot Rodgers, like all of us, we have a right to our preference for beautiful, you know, sexy women, man. And Elliot Rodgers, he had a right to his preference. I was like, motherfucker, he ain't got a right to shit. Mm. That motherfucker killed people. Mm-hmm. Once he picked up that man to kill a motherfucker, he ain't got a right to jack fucking shit. And to answer that question, for guys and followers of his and other people say, yeah, Alan, I think we do. Yeah, you got a right to want something. Nobody can argue with you that you, I mean, shit, I want a convertible Bentley. Mm-hmm. I got a right to want a convertible Bentley. But there's a difference between me saying I got a right to want a convertible Bentley versus me saying I got a right to a convertible Bentley. Mm. See, the latter is saying I deserve to have a convertible Bentley, even if I can't afford it, I deserve that. And so what I'm telling all these guys out here is, you don't deserve any woman's romantic or sexual companionship. You can want it. Ain't nobody challenging you on that. You can want the companionship of a beautiful, sexy woman, a 7, 8, 9, or 10. You can want their romantic and sexual companionship. But if you read Elliot Rodgers' manifesto, which I did, I hadn't before, but this Obsidian himself challenged me to read it. I read it.
Okay.
This motherfucker very frequently used the word deserve. He said, I deserve the companionship of beautiful women. I deserve the companionship of 9s and 10s. No, you don't, motherfucker. You don't deserve shit in this life other than fairness under the law and the right to earn a living and your civil liberty. Beyond that, you don't deserve shit. Especially as it relates to women. You don't deserve shit. Mm. If 8s, 9s, and 10s don't want you, then you got to accept that and move on. That's what I told Obsidian. Mm. And he said, I ain't going to accept it and move on. And I then I'm offended. You got to accept that shit and move on.
Mm.
And then privately, I wrote him later on that night after we exchanged in the comment section. I said, hey, brother, I'm going to keep it real with you, man. I said, on a personal level, you're entitled to every opinion you want to express.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your opinions, and, you know, I respect that. But I was basically like, as far as us potentially doing business together...
What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be back with my motherfucking partners right here on PepYet101.net. Just in case you don't know who the fuck I am, my name is Payroll the motherfucking Pimp. And I'll be your instructor this evening right here on the Payroll Show. This show is brought to you in part by www.maxcity.com. If you can dig that, Big Mike in the motherfucking house. A very, very good friend of a pimp. I'm not going to go into the schematics of things, but I'm just going to say, go check his shit out. That's some real shit going on over there. MaxCity.com. Big Mike, my motherfucking partner. My motherfucking partner. My motherfucking partner.
MaxCity.com. You ain't no pimp. You're a rep favorite. You're a rep favorite.
my books, I ain't down with that shit no more.
Okay.
I'm ending this shit.
Right.
You know, and I seriously said that, you know, this, and on a personal level, you are who you are, you know, do what you do. But I said, as far as, I don't want my brand associated with a motherfucker who would even remotely defend the life of an Elliot Rodger, or who tries to make the argument that men are entitled to a woman's romantic or sexual companionship. No, you're not. You ain't entitled to shit. And so, I was trying to handle shit man to man, you know, because I was taught when I was young, man, if you got differences with men, you go to them directly first. You don't ever start shit out public. I mean, if situated circumstances dictate that shit goes public, then, you know, you do what you got to do.
Right.
Initially, so I just told him properly. I didn't want no to do no business. And then he does 2 or 3 videos, and it was the even more solidification of why I knew I made the decision not to separate with this motherfucker. They even went, I would say, above and beyond the whole Elliot Rodger piece. This motherfucker did a video, I think it was called Don't Be a Slave to Form.
Right.
Man, dude. Man, my mother used to have this phrase she would use when people do just outlandishly audacious shit. She would say, that motherfucker got the gall of a brass-ass monkey.
Damn.
This motherfucker in this video was almost, in his own way, trying to tell me what Mode 1 was about.
Yeah.
And I'm the motherfucker who created the four modes of behavior. This motherfucker was trying to... And this is when I first was familiar with your boy, Vector.
Right.
I think I had seen him maybe a couple times in my homecoming section. When I first paid attention to Vector, man, he even came in and busted on him. And he like, how you gonna try to tell the nigga who came up with Mode 1 how Mode 1 go? And that's what I had. I was like, this nigga is literally trying to tell me what Mode 1 is about.
Man.
The intricacies of what Mode 1 should be about and what it should be about. Motherfucker, I wrote the book, nigga. I wrote the motherfucking book. You write your own goddamn book and you talk about your obsidian way of verbal communication. Don't tell me, motherfucker, about no Mode 1, nigga. Nigga.
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, nigga. That's what I really, again, I would say even more so than the whole Elliot Rodger disagreement.
Right.
That's what I was really like, oh, no, hell no, I don't want this motherfucker associated with my brand no more. This motherfucker crazy. I literally think the motherfucker is nuts. And see, here I go with my opinionated shit to the factual shit, but I'm gonna add in that opinion. I don't literally think your boy is, he's kind of a little off, man. Motherfucker has some issues, man. That's my opinion. I ain't saying you agree with that.
Right, right.
None of your listeners agree with that. I ain't putting obligating that on nobody else. This is Alan Roger Curry speaking. I think Obsidian, motherfucker, is kind of off, man.
Okay.
So, the most recent thing, I want to say, you can say he left me alone for a while. I left him alone. We weren't really talking about to each other or about each other. But I had done a video called Stop Whining and Complaining.
Right.
Now, here's the thing I'm going to tell you, and I want to make this clear to you and your listeners, because this is really what bugged me about this whole thing, the whole whining and complaining thing. A lot of guys, particularly Obsidian and his followers, had a negative reaction to that.
Okay.
Which I could care less. But what killed me is that a lot of them tried to act like this was something new and different for me.
Right.
Like some of his followers was making comments like, yeah, man, I used to follow Alan Roger Curry. He seemed cool, man. I didn't know he was like this. I didn't know he was the type of guy that comes down hard on brothers and essentially defends sisters. I didn't know he was this type of brother. And I'm like, whoever's saying this shit, whether it's Obsidian, his followers, and whoever else, them motherfuckers didn't do their research on me.
Right.
They didn't do their thorough research on me. And like, I read in one of your comment sections when you did the video about Obsidian Radio versus Allen Rice Curry at Mo 1, you know, I'm sure you saw the back and forth me and Obsidian had in your comment section.
Yeah, man. Jesus.
And he tried to make a comment suggesting that I should have done more of my research on him before connecting with him, which has a certain degree of validity. But I would throw that back at him 10 times. This motherfucker obviously didn't know who he was trying to connect with and who he was trying to do business with. Did I just, anybody who's known me for years know two things. Number one, I ain't never been no brother who's anti-system. Okay. Ever.
All right.
I ain't never been about calling out no, as he calls it, black female fuckery. That ain't never. And see, that's why I didn't like my association with him. Because he had a lot of his followers thinking that that was part of my M.O.
Okay.
That ain't never been my M.O. Like, there's another guy who's in the YouTube and blog talk radio. I'm actually cool and kid now, but me and him about our share falling out. Steve the Dean Williams.
Right.
Me and him had a major falling out a few months after we first connected, because he was on that tip big time back in the day, even though he's softened that stance now. But he was real big about hating on sisters. And I told him straight, I said, dude, man, I don't hate on sisters like that, bro.
Right.
I don't hate on sisters like that, dude. Because when it comes to evaluating sisters, man, I'm very, well, I would say really everything. I feel like I'm a very objective-minded person.
Right.
I'm able to see the good and the bad in every group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ain't going to never defend sisters 100% and try to act like all sisters are quality, worthwhile sisters. Hell no. I would never, ever do that. But on the flip side, I ain't going to never act like 100% of sisters are ratchet and low quality and ain't about shit. Because right. That ain't the truth. That ain't been my experience.
No doubt.
I've had a blend of both. I've had interactions with quality sisters. I've had interactions with low quality sisters. So, I ain't never been one. So that's number one, man. You know, so these guys who say, you know, acting like I had changed. No, motherfucker, I ain't never been no guy who picks on sisters for criticism. Typically, anytime I 95% of the time I criticize women, I criticize all women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pick by race.
Right.
The closest I come to generalizing sometimes, I admitted this on a recent video podcast of mine. Now, sometimes I will generalize women by age. Like, I will say women in their 40s do this.
Mm-hmm.
Women in their 50s do this. So I have been guilty of generalizing women a lot of times by age, particularly women in their 40s and 50s. But I rarely generalize women for criticism by race, man, because that's just a dangerous path to go down. But, so another thing on just my admonishment about stop whining and complaining. The one documented thing, you can go back to my 1999 Mo 1 ebook. Mm-hmm. I have that plain and simply in chapter 8. So no one could ever say this is something new from Allen Rice Curry. I've given various pieces of advice on that's my final chapter in the book where I promote Mo 1 behavior. And I get these little subcategories, subsections in the book. And one of my subsections is don't ever whine and complain about women. Don't worry about what you don't like about women. What fucked up behavior they had.
Right.
Just concern yourself with, am I going to deal with this woman or not?
Exactly. Yep.
So that's starting point question. Am I going to deal with this woman or not? If you decide to deal with a woman and say she does have flaws and weaknesses, then you're going to accept that shit. Why? Because you chose to deal with it.
That's right. That's right. That's what me and Tony say.
You know, to me, that's like kind of sense. If you chose, I always tell, and I tell this to my closest male friends over the years. Like, I've had a few male friends that will have a girlfriend or wife that they're bitching about from time to time. I'd be like, dude, you chose to be with her, though, man.
Yeah.
You know, you chose to be with her. You either stay with her and accept that shit, or if it's really getting on your nerves, you married her, you got a divorce, or if your boyfriend's up, you got to break up with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my thing, man. If you know something's fucked up about a woman, you either deal with it, if you're really attracted to her, you leave her the fuck alone. But I ain't never been a fan of dudes sitting around. Come on, man, all women are fucked up. All women, they get this quality, they get that quality. Okay. Man, you know, if a mother do that, and like, it's like, Sunday morning, and I'm over your crib, and we watching football, and some brothers doing that for, you know, a half hour. So I ain't tripping on that, man. You know, that's just gonna happen. But I mean, for you to go on a podcast show on a week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis, and that's almost like your whole mantra is highlighting what's fucked up about women, and more specifically, what's fucked up about black women, man. I'm going to say this is Alan Roger Curry talking. No other brother. Anybody other brother, they can disagree with it. Where I come from, the way I was raised by my father,
right. That's
just unmanly, man.
Right.
That's just unmanly to be doing that shit, man, on a repeated basis like that, man. That's for bitches to do. Bitches, to me, bitches should be always whining and complaining about men, because that's who they are. That's right. What they do. I just write that off as that's what bitches do. But men shouldn't be doing that shit, man. That's not a good look to me. And again, that's just my own Alan Roger Curry opinion, man. That's just not a good look.
Yeah, that's how me and Tony get down, man. Anybody that's listened to this podcast for years know, when we get with these freaks, man, of course, we not doing it to find no wives or whatever. You know, we basically trying to find freaks, but we always tell them, you know, we accept them as they are. We ain't trying to change shit. You know, either we dealing with them or we not. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I fully concur with that. We don't believe in wringing our hands and whining and bitching, you know what I'm saying, about what females do, man. You know what I mean? But on that same token, that kind of leads me into, I'm trying to figure out, as far as world views are concerned, because it's obvious that you two have different agendas. On looking at it on the surface, it would appear that you might, you know, be going the same way. But as far as I can see, what Obsidian's doing, right, I think he has a more broader, more, a bigger world view as far as the black woman is concerned, because basically we're looking at black society as a whole, trying to get the family back together, trying to get the community back together. And the only way to do that is to critique certain behaviors. You know what I mean? Of course, he's not going to critique men because that's not necessarily his wheelhouse. His wheelhouse will be critiquing what women are doing wrong. And of course, you're not really in that wheelhouse. Your main thing, you know, you're a dating coach. You're trying to teach men how to basically deal with women and how to come up on women and not be mystified by women. So my thing is, I don't see either one of you as being wrong. You know what I mean? You're basically just attacking certain viewpoints and certain situations, like I said, when it's pertaining to black women that need to be addressed. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Not only did it make sense, I actually, in my very last reply to him in the YouTube comment section to one of his, you know, his last three or four videos have been about me. Now, I got to point out that I find this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In our email exchange, after I told him that I didn't want to do business with him, one of his emphatic statements was to me, he said it emphatically. He said, Alan, you know, I think it's fucked up that you, I'm paraphrasing the word, but basically he was like, I think it's wrong that you part ways from me after as much as I promoted your book and promoted your product. He said, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to never, ever mention your name or your brand name, Mo One, ever again on my show. Ever. Mm. I mean, he emphasized ever.
Okay.
That motherfucker that did, I don't know how he done did about 10 or 12 videos about me. That was either directly or indirectly about me. Hey, man, see, that's, come on, man. That's stuff I expect out of women, man. When they tell, I'm the only woman who do that. Just, Ellen, you're an asshole. You're a jerk. And never, ever, ever gonna deal with you ever again. And 2 days later, they'd be over my crib sucking my dick.
Oh, my God.
And, but, no, in one of my last exchanges with him, I said a variation of what you said. I said, after his thing, Obsidian, I said, what you're doing is you like to offer, like, these sociological critiques of the state of the black community.
Right.
And how black women's dysfunctional behavior has contributed to the downfall of the black community. And I basically let him know. I said, I ain't mad at you for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's your angle, that's your angle. I don't want to have no hate on you for that.
Right.
But don't conflate that with the world of dating and relationships.
Okay.
Those are apples and oranges conversations.
Okay.
So he likes to put them in the blender and blend them together. Mm. But what I'm arguing is that those are apples and oranges conversations, man. Mm. And like you said about my wheelhouse, his wheelhouse, and I like to say my lane and their lane. Mm. Yeah, man, I'm a professional dating coach, man.
Right.
I mean, and along with that, a lot of brothers and sisters, man, I know, but one thing I do kind of, as you could say, a side job or whatever, I'm a BDSM and polyamory consultant for a lot of women and couples. Mm. So I like work with a lot of both single women and women in relationships who are curious about either the BDSM lifestyle, polyamory lifestyle, or both. And for those listeners not familiar with that term, polyamory is to long-term non-monogamous sex with promiscuity is to short-term non-monogamous sex.
Okay.
So if you're kicking it with multiple sex partners over a long period of time, then you're not really being promiscuous. That's considered being polyamorous. Mm. And so for all the things I do, both with men, women, and couples, really make me look like to develop a reputation that I got all this beast with women behavior, man.
Right, right.
That would cause me to lose credibility.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfuckers would be like, why would I want to pay a dude money for his advice when it seems like he's easily frustrated by women's behavior?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like he can't handle women's behavior to the point where he got to whine and complain about it. That would not be a dating coach. I mean, a good look for any dating coach or pickup artist or anybody who works in my realm. Mm. You know, because to me, the only people who whine about shit, man, is people, again, we already talked about it, but they're either not willing to ignore women or they're not willing to accept that woman's behavior that they chose to deal with.
It's like me and Tony on here. You know, we talk about women, male-female relationships. We talk a lot of racial stuff. And, you know, one of our biggest gripes about black men or black people in general, you know, on a racial tip is the fact that a lot of black folks whine and gripe and cry about racial stuff all the time. You know what I mean? And, you know, we've always told them, like, you know, it's not enough for you to sit here, have lectures and talk and whine and cry and bitch about what the fuck white folks is allegedly doing to you. I mean, you got to be proactive. You got to do something. Otherwise, we don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's in the same vein. You know, when I heard you talking about cats whining and complaining, I totally understood what you were saying. It's like, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, if you have a situation where you're not pleased about what you're getting, about what's going on in front of your face, what are you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? And that's our same approach, you know, when it comes to anything of a racial nature and when it comes to females, because we don't whine and gripe about what females do. You know what I mean? We do understand the socioeconomic, political ramifications of their behavior, but on a personal level, shit, man, we good this way. You know what I mean? We good. We understand it. To know a thing is to remove all fear and apprehension of it. And we know, boy, we know women. There ain't no mystery. You know what I mean? So we don't hate them. We understand what they are. And shoot, and we treat them accordingly.
You see? I said the same thing, brother. I mean, right. To me, that last thing, you just summed it up, man. I mean, that's why it just shakes my head sometimes, man. I mean, I told this stuff sitting directly. I said, dude, women are who they are, dude.
Right.
Like, you honestly think that women are going to listen to your various episodes of your podcast show and they're going to say to themselves, God, I need to make a change in improving my behavior because of what Obsidian said? Fuck no. Fuck no. Women are going to be all they are, going to be who they are, especially, as you also mentioned, on a personal and social level. Now, see, on a professional level,
right?
I admitted this in my last video podcast. I raised my hand to go. I've been a whiner and complainer at times when it comes to dealing with women in the workplace.
Right.
That I don't like. I'm thankfully God has blessed me to be self-employed for over 5 years. But man, I always hated having a female boss. Right, I don't like having a female boss. told. Mm-hmm. When it comes to guys doing some degree of wine clan, either about women, having to deal with women, to do with legalities, legal issues, workplace issues, a couple other areas that might be skipping my mind right now, I'm willing to give people a pass on that. Right. I'm willing to give guys a pass on that. But when it comes to a personal life, man, a love life, sex life, social life, man, and nobody owes you shit, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody owes you shit.
Right.
You got to make your own way, man. And I don't want to keep saying it over and over and over again, but again, if you size a woman up and you see that she has certain flaws and weaknesses in her behavior, her character, her integrity, her look, either you got to choose not to deal with her, or if you're going to deal with her, you got to accept that shit, man. Mm. But anything other than those two options is whining and complaining. Mm. You're just whining and complaining.
Shit. Or you're going to be a boss-type cat, man. And if you are a boss-type cat, you can curb that behavior. You know what I mean?
Shit. Hey, Dad, I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I already just told you, man, I'm a BDSM consultant. And along with that, I'm what's known in the BDSM. I don't know how many of your listeners speak me. What's known as the BDSM world. For those of you who may be ignorant, that stands for bondage, domination, discipline, sadomasochism. And, like, if you've seen movies like 50 Shades of Grey, 9½ Weeks, Secretary with James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal,
mm-hmm.
those are all movies that center around the BDSM lifestyle. And in the BDSM lifestyle, there's four sexual personalities. There's what's known as a top or dom. That means you like to be the dominant sex partner pretty much 100% of the time, at least 99.9% of the time. On the exact opposite end was what's called a sub or a bottom, which means you like being the obedient and submissive sex partner 99.9% of the time. And kind of in the middle is what's known as a switch or a flexible. A switch is if a woman, say, was dealing with two guys and one guy was always dominating her and the other guy, she's always dominating him. That would make her a switch.
Okay.
A flexible or versatile is when you go back and forth with the same exact partner. So like a husband who's dominant 3/4 of the time with his wife and the other fourth, he lets her be dominant. Mm. So I was known as not only on a personal level, BDSM dom, on a professional level, meaning that women pay me to dominate them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to repeat that for you, Liz. Women pay me.
Man.
And as these two sisters started the interview that I did last fall, they said, oh, Alan, I bet 90% of your clients are white women. No. No less than 40% of my female clients are sisters. And so to your point, you said, I was talking about those two options. You either leave a woman alone or you accept her for a flaw. But yeah, I guess I have to add the third option. If you a badass motherfucker, you train a bitch
right.
to act exactly the way you want her to act.
Exactly, man. Just like
only a small percentage of motherfuckers gonna get it. I'm gonna have to fall off my head like that.
Right.
That's what I'll be trying to tell guys, that if you really want to take your shit to the highest level, I mean, it's one thing to just simply be a player out here, you know, that's got its own reward. But if you want to take at least one step higher than that, man, you got to get to the point where you're able to train a woman's mind, literally train her to respond to you exactly. Like, I get one quick story, man. One of my last long-term relationships, I dealt with this chick who was actually used to be a celebrity. I ain't going to say her name. And she was kind of a one-hit wonder in the music industry. And we was dating. Well, I was going to tell just a quick anecdotal story. With me being a BDSM dom, there was a young lady I dated a few years ago. And when we first hooked up, you know, I was giving her full disclosure about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her that I had a bunch of BDSM subs all across the country who refer to me as sir or daddy, and they refer to themselves as my obedient good bitch. Like, they'll write, say, your obedient good bitch Linda, your obedient good bitch Michelle. And at the time, my girlfriend was like, believe how egotistical you are. I said, okay. Because she thought I was, you know, just making that shit up. And then so we together a few weeks later. And we fucking. And I fell asleep. And normally, I like to shut down my laptop, but I left my laptop on. While I was asleep, her nosy ass went into my Facebook message.
Right.
And then she ends up waking me up and apologizes to me in this real soft, submissive voice. Because before, it was an interesting turning point in our relationship, because up to this point, she was only, like, I would say, semi-submissive to me.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't full throttle submissive to me. But after she read all these Facebook inbox messages I had from my other subs, she basically was like, you really are that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you was just hyping yourself up, but she was like, Alan, I can't believe how many women you have that write you and call you sir and daddy and tell you and refer to themselves as your obedient good bitch. I was like, why would you think I would just make that shit up? She's like, I don't know. I just thought you were being full of yourself. I was like, shit. There ain't no major city in the United States where I don't have at least two or three BDSM subs.
Damn. So it's funny, right? Because, you know, hearing you talk about this, you know, because, of course, I got a porn site that's been up since 2003. And a lot of cats, man, locally, and I mean, just cats, period, all over the world, just be tripping about the site, man, because I would just do a lot of outlandish stuff that people wouldn't think that I would be able to get off. Like, I would, like, have whole families, I would have your mama, your aunt, your niece, you know, families full of just females, you know, doing the porn. And I would just, I'd have them there pregnant. I'd be scribbling on their face with magic marker, like insults, like stupid bitch. And I'd make them, you know, give me head and just all kind of crazy buck wild stuff. The people be like, why are they submitting to this? Why would they do that? Why would some female bring her mama to you to put her on a porn site? You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I don't, because I said this is what I want, this is how it's gonna be, make it happen. You know what I'm saying? It was, there's no magic to it, man. Just this is what I want, and this is what I'm gonna get. You know what I'm saying? Shit. So,
oh brother, I didn't know that about you. Oh, now that you dropped that on me, man, say no more. You, I already know you ain't known then. Shit,
man, I already know, man.
Yeah,
shit.
I never worked in the industry, but I had a couple of buddies when I lived in L.A.
Right.
Matter of fact, I got a protege now. I worked with, goes by the name Jovan Jordan.
Right.
He works in a biz. And, yeah, see, you, oh, man, you definitely know what's up. And see, this is why, see, here's the reason why these motherfuckers are whining and complaining. You and I both know that old adage, you got to think outside the box.
Right.
See, some people's, man, their thinking is so boxed in that they can't even allow their mind. Like, speaking of this shit you was breaking down, I got to throw Obsidian. One of the first times Obsidian tripped off me, you know, because we was having a private phone conversation where we were cool. And I was, you know, I guess I was doing a little tooting on my horn from shit about I've experienced in my days as a womanizer. And probably the biggest eyebrow raiser for him was, I told him, I said, yeah, man, it's been at least a half a dozen times I've been with a mother and daughter. He was like, what? A mother and a daughter? I was like, oh, yeah, dude. I done had a mother and a daughter sucking my dick at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I could tell his response was almost like, man, I can't even fathom that shit.
Wow.
But, see, brothers like you and I, we know women's true nature, and we know ain't nothing out of bounds for most of them, man.
So ain't. Mm-mm.
And as far as the domination piece, man, a lot of, see, the thing about, man, a lot of these sisters, they publicly act like they are hard and tough and shit. But no less than 3/4 of the women who publicly act that way, behind closed doors, man, they're the most submissive bitches in the world, man. You can just call off and slap the shit out of their face, and they'll say, I deserve that, daddy. I deserve that, son.
Yeah.
because we got this thing, what we call it, the punishment blow job. Whenever a female act out of pocket, I'd make her, like, I'd buy a magic marker, and I would just scribble slut, whore, stupid bitch on her face, and we go outside to a park, and I'd make her suck me off. And then, of course, I'd put the load on her face and make her walk around the park with it. And, man, they would not stop calling me. Initially, I would do it to try and get rid of a chick, but I found it worked in reverse. It's like,
oh,
man.
Oh, shit.
Like,
stop,
yeah.
Stop. You dropped too much game on these guys, man.
My fault.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah, man. They be calling me. They would not stop calling me, man.
Dude, you just dropped some heavy duty morsel of wisdom right there, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's why we don't whine and cry about these females. They gonna be here. They gonna be here, man. But I just couldn't believe it. But you know, I stumbled on it on accident. I was like, so the more I put my so-called Mac hand down on these bras like this without without shedding a tear on them, without giving two shits about their feelings. You know what I'm saying? The more they keep calling me, okay, all right then. Man, it was crazy. I couldn't get rid of them for a long time. Shit, man. But I ain't even got the heart to do it now. I ain't got the heart to do it now. Yeah. I done got old.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I can understand that. I just want to quickly add, man. See, because a lot of guys, of course, ask me, speaking of, you know, that video when I said a lot of motherfuckers ain't going to be able to pull no 8s, 9s, and 10s.
Right.
And that is the truth. A lot of guys won't. But right. For those guys who at least have the potential to,
mm-hmm.
along the lines of what Brother Mike just broke down, I'm gonna drop some stuff on your listeners, even though you essentially just dropped it. But,
right.
Man, you want to know one of the number one ways I pull some real fine-ass bitches?
Shit, bro.
See, most guys, when they in the company of real fine bitches, their natural tendency is to play up to them.
Yeah.
Play up to the ego, tell them how beautiful they are, and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
When the real secret is, I don't like to use this phrase, treat a woman like shit. Mm-hmm. I always try to phrase it a better way. My formal term, I guess, is challenge their ego. But if I am going to just go ahead and use just, you know, lame and street terms, man, when you treat real fine bitches like they ain't about shit, man, they will stalk the fuck out of you. Because they ain't used to that shit. Because most guys don't do that shit.
Right.
So you're going against the grain. So they intrigued by you. And a lot of times, man, you can't get them bitches to leave you alone. I've had fine-ass bitches, man, like 8s, 9s, even a couple 10s, man, be just jocking me. Why? Among other reasons, because I would talk to them like they was a 3. Like, they call me, I'd be like, bitch, why you call me so much? Quit calling me so goddamn much. Oh, get the fuck off this phone, bitch. I'll talk to you a couple weeks from now and shit. Quit fucking me so goddamn much. And they used to, go find bitches, used to motherfuckers.
Right.
We used to motherfuckers calling them 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Shit,
so I was cracking up when you said you discovered that by accident, that when you treat these bitches like shit, they start stalking your ass, man. That ain't no true words have ever been spoken.
Uh-huh. And going back to what you just talking about, me and my partner, we got what's called the alpha bitch strategy. You know, when we doing the porn game, you know, we had, like, let's say we got a group of like 4 or 5 females, and you know, the target is the fine one, the number 9 or the number 10. What we would always do is we would always pay all the other subordinate chicks attention. We would always shower them with, you know, so-called accolades and compliments or gifts or whatever. But we would always ignore the top bitch. You know what I'm saying? And, we would do that maybe like 3 or 4 times, you know what I mean? And, bruh, it would be like, you know, because we trying to get her to put in work. We trying to get the top bitch to put in work because she always acted like she was too good to fuck with us. You know, we do that 2 or 3 times, just like you said, man. All of a sudden, it whittles her down and it breaks down her resolve. Now, all of a sudden, she's trying to figure out, you know, like what's with these dudes? And how come they not paying me no attention? And how come they not looking my way? You know what I'm saying? And before you know it, we got her on camera doing whatever the fuck we want her to do. You know what I'm saying? So that plays into that, man. That plays into that. We would go ahead and play the subordinate chick against the so-called top-notch chick. And I would just incense that woman, man. She would be just so livid that we wouldn't even pay her not a lick of sense or not a lick of attention, man. Shit. So that was another technique we used to use.
Yeah, I believe it, man. I believe it. See, that's the thing, man. See, a lot of real fine bitches, man, again, their own ego a lot of times works against them.
Right.
Because if they've had a bunch of just weak beta male type motherfuckers always jocking them and being thirsty and offering them shit, that builds up the ego. But again, once they run across a motherfucker like you or I, who goes against the grain of their ego, number one, it's hard for them to process, and then that automatically creates curiosity and intrigue. Because there's a thinking process behind it. They're thinking, well, what gives this guy the balls to treat me like this, as fine as I am?
Right.
So that leads to the automatic assumption, he must have other bad bitches at his beck and call.
Exactly.
He can fuck.
Right.
That I'm just another one out here in the sea. So that immediately raises your value in their eyes. Because they're like, oh, this motherfucker don't need to fuck me. He got other options.
Yeah, man. Shoot. Yeah, it'd be many a day, man. I'd be seen riding around the hood with mothers and daughters in my ride. You know what I'm saying? People are like, what the hell is going on here? I had whole families of freaks, man. I can't even, boy, I'm trying to tell you, I got stories, man. And it all hinges on just, man, not giving two fucks about them, man. You know? Shit, the more you care about them, boy, the less success you're going to have, man. That's what I learned. The more you care, the less success you're going to have, man. Shoot, you can't not care not one iota. Shit. Mm-hmm. Cop and blow. They come and they go. If you stay cool, if you go, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Shit.
Exactly, man. Mm-hmm. Exactly, man. You know, and again, you know, back to somewhat to the whole Obsidian controversy. I mean, see, man, all the stuff you just broke down and that I talked about, I mean, I couldn't even imagine you doing a weekly podcast where you just whining and complaining about women's behavior, knowing you done been with, you know, a mother and a daughter, a mother and a niece, you know, two sisters and that type of shit. I mean, when you experience the shit that you've experienced and I've experienced, man, you feel like an idiot doing a whole bunch of whining and complaining, and you're like, shit, I know what women are about.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't never fooled me. Shit. I know what they're about. That's just all, like all street pimps, man. You don't see no street pimp whining and complaining about no fish being. Why? Because you know what they're about. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to profit from what they're about.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there again, it's like, once again, going back to world views, you know, once again, I understand that from a socioeconomic and political standpoint, what's going on as a whole, as a collective, with the behavior, because I like to say the behavior of black people, period, not just black women, you know what I mean? But I do understand there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. There's a lot of things that need to be checked, you know what I mean? But on my personal level, you know, I don't have no problems with women, man, you know what I mean? My thing is, right now, I'm just basically doing business with women because that's where I'm at in my life. I don't really want to have no personal, so-called touchy-feely relationships with no woman because, you know, I'm about my grind. I'm about my money right now, and I don't want to get sidetracked. You know what I mean? But as far as, like I said, when I see Obsidian saying what he says, and I say, and I see you saying what you're saying, I totally get it on both ends. You know what I mean? I totally get it on both ends. So it's kind of like you say, it's apples and oranges, man. Shit, but me and my boy Tony, we get on here and yeah, we critique and we blaze the hell out of these bras from time to time, but we fair. We also get on these brothers. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot of, you know, that's a big misconception about what me and my boy Tony do. Sometimes, you know, dudes will call, they'll talk about us and they'll probably put us in the same vein what some of these other cats do when they just mainly talking about black women. But, you know, we always say, due to the fact that the black woman is acting so-called out of pocket right now, that's because that's your fault, man. It is the black man's fault why the woman is acting this way. Because me being out here in the streets, I seen how a woman will react to me versus another dude. Or vice versa, you know what I mean? I can't necessarily get off certain things that other dudes can get off. You know, I may not have that right sort of machismo. I may not have that sort of backbone. Because there's been females that have clowned me. You know what I mean? But in the same token, there's things that I can get off with women that the next cat can't. You know what I mean? The woman is always going to follow the man's lead, given that option. So if the woman is out of pocket, and if she's out of pocket as a collective, that's because the black man as a collective has let her be out of pocket. So it ain't nobody's fault but yours, black man. It's your fault.
You're saying something. I'm about to add a rebuttal here. Uh-huh. And I know, you don't have no ill feelings against this idiot, so I'm not trying to obligate you to.
Right.
But, see, this is what you just said, though, is related to one of my major criticisms of Stinian, man, is Stinian, it's like he's putting either all the blame on black women themselves, or if he has on one more person, it would be the financial generosity of the U.S. government, and there's some valid argument about those things, but I ain't never can see, he knows, every person knows who does podcasts, and you know, they're all about their followers, their subscribers, particularly if they get financial support from them. So see, Obsidian, he ain't fooling nobody, he's a businessman, he knows that most of his demographic wants to hear him dog out sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if he was to start dogging out the flaws and weaknesses of brothers, he would lose a large portion of his demographic.
Right.
And see, it's funny, he tried to criticize me on just the opposite. He wrote a comment about me saying that Alan is scared to criticize black women because, you know, if he did, he would scare off some of the women who have purchased his books or want to purchase his books. I ain't scared to say shit. I criticize women in general, particularly in my book, The Possibility of Sex. My thing is, again, I just don't generalize my criticism about race. But I criticize women all the time for being manipulative, or being dishonest, or being sexually duplicitous. So I ain't scared of shit. But this motherfucker, Obsidian, ain't scared to say anything negative about black men with the exception of black men who go against his opinions and his criticisms, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's willing to attack me because I'm not co-signing with everything he say. But generally speaking, Obsidian don't ever attack what's fucked up about black men. He don't deal with black. He ain't a ropey. We had an email exchange where he admitted that. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I don't. I don't talk about black male fuckers. That's not my thing. He's like, that's not on my agenda.
Right.
He's like, my agenda is black female fuckers.
Mm.
And but to me, you can't talk about fuckery in the black community unless you're talking about it on both ends.
Exactly. Yep.
You've got to be talking about it on both ends, man. Black men are fucking up just as much, if not more, than black women are fucking up. And to your point, you made, you got so many weak black men in today's society compared to, say, you know, 30, 40 years and beyond. I mean, all these, like, young brothers, man, that's all they do is bitch.
Right.
I mean, damn, man.
Yeah, man.
That's all they do is bitch about women. And they all weak and shit themselves. That's the problem, man. These sisters, man, they don't want to end up with no weak motherfuckers, man.
Right.
No woman's pussy gets wet over from a motherfucker that she knows she can run circles with. Listeners, I'm telling you straight up, that's a fact. That ain't opinion. That's a fact. Iceberg Slim broke down that in his book, Pimp. He said, ain't no woman, man, gonna want to fuck you if she knows she can just totally run game on your ass and manipulate your ass with ease.
And they get mad, you know, with the black woman so-called cozying up to the white man or the white government. But since me and you understand the nature of women, she always going to seek the strongest out the crew. And, I mean, it's a no-brainer, man. It's like she going to cozy up to whoever paying the bills. Shoot, whoever feeding her, whoever housing her. You know what I'm saying? It's a no-brainer. Don't get mad about that. If you don't want that to happen, then you become the one that, you know, provides the food, the clothing, and the shelter. You know what I'm saying? Women naturally do that, man. They gravitate to those, you know, who take care of business and provide, man, can build empires. It's simple as that.
Well, I would two-thirds agree with that, but I do have one partial disagreement.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I did, you probably saw him, I did a couple of video podcasts where I say that money in material positions is overrated. Mm-hmm. And of course, I got some blowback from that. Guy's like,
right.
Oh, you know, I think it's easy to get pussy when you're rich. Man, it ain't necessarily true. Here's what it is that there's two things women like.
Right.
Not more. Just if I narrow down to just two guys. I have to narrow down to three guys. There's at least three guys I believe all women want in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wrote an article for the Examiner that time outlining this. They want one motherfucker that's going to give them some really good dick.
Right.
They want a motherfucker who's going to provide for them financially. And if they have children, provide for their children. Then a kind of third category would be they want a motherfucker who's going to always keep their ego and self-esteem boosted, keep them entertained.
Right.
And they may be bored and lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of women are going to actively seek those three guys. Now, if they can happen to find a guy who can, say, kill two of those three birds with one stone, then most women will happily go for that guy. If a guy can give them good dick and financially provide for them, you know, or say, if a woman is offered the choice between two guys and they both got equally good dick, equally good sex game, but one guy is making $500,000 a year and the other guy making $75,000 a year, of course, the woman's going to go with a guy making $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, what most women do is they find a lot of these nerdy, semi-nerdy type guys that got six-figure salary, but they ain't got no sex game.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll cheat on that motherfucker with somebody like you and me. And, you know, but they'll be telling that dude, you know, oh buddy, I ain't worth you so much. I ain't never step out of you. This is so much. But, no good. Well, she just got started sucking your dick 3 hours earlier and shit.
Yep.
You know. So, they're going to secure it. Now, that is the top priority. Those three guys I mentioned, all women, unless they're banking on their own. That would be the exception. Women just got their own bank. But otherwise, women are going to always look for a guy with security, but that it doesn't always translate into genuine sexual interest. And the reason I know that, because I fucked women who had husbands or fiancés or boyfriends that was making way more money than me. So I knew, that's when I came to the realization that it ain't money that gets the woman's pussy wet. Money will make a woman want that guy for his non-sexual attention and companionship. Like, I told a story on my blog, there was this white chick I used to fuck in Los Angeles. And now, the first couple times I fucked her, I thought she was single because I didn't see nothing on her fingers. Then the third time I fucked her, I saw this big ass rock. And I was like, where the fuck did that come from? You mean? And she said, no, I'm engaged. And she was married to a guy who was making close to $1 million a year. He owned his own computer software company or something. But she admitted to me, man, she was one of the first women at the time who openly admitted. She said, I said, why is my dick in your mouth anytime I want it to be? But yet you tell me you're engaged.
Right.
She said, oh, I'm not really sexually attracted to him. I said, but you can remarry this dude. And she gave me a look like it. She was white, but she gave me a nigga please look like. She's like, you must don't know women. She's like, it's so many words. She was like, we ain't gonna never turn down financial security.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at that shit. We ain't gonna never turn that shit down.
Yeah, I fully concur with what you talk about on an individual level. What I'm basically talking about as a collective, you know, what makes the black woman so disrespectful to the black man? And to me, I feel that's, you know, due to the concept of monkey branching. She's basically going with the most powerful male who can actually get things done on a materialistic plain. That's basically what I'm saying. That's why a lot of these brothers out here, you know, they get so much derision. They get so much side eye from these black women because, you know, the government is basically taking care of them more so than the so-called brothers. That's kind of like my argument right there. You know, not...
Well, to me, that's more so your... What do I say? To me, the women who are being taken up by the government, man, that's your lower sex socio-economical type systems,
right,
man.
Right.
But I mean, there are sisters who have college degrees and earning high five figures or six figures that are still giving brothers shit because these brothers ain't got no backbone to stand up to them, man.
Right, right. Man,
they don't know how to put no woman in check, man. I mean, we was talking about it earlier, man. I mean, you gotta be a motherfucker that knows how to put a woman in check, man. Again, I don't like to suggest to men that you gotta, quote unquote, treat a woman like shit.
Right.
But you gotta have strong ass backbone to let the woman know that, hey, you start tripping, I will leave you the fuck alone in a microsecond.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need your companionship. I want it, but I do not need it. I got other options.
Man, hell yeah.
But you got all these thirsty motherfuckers that be playing up the chicks. I mean, I see it on Facebook. A chick will put a picture of herself in a bikini and motherfuckers lose their mind. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. Oh my God, you're so sexy. Oh my God. You're a goddess. Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here. Damn. Stand up to these bitches' egos like that's going to get you some pussy.
Hey, check it out. Check it out, man. We about to... I'm about to run out of juice on my phone. It's beeping on me. So what I want you to do, man, I want you to go ahead and, you know, tell the cats, you know, where they can find you at, man, and, you know, what kind of services you have, you know, to help brothers out, you know, with their so-called female problems, man. Hit us on up. What you got?
Well, number one, I want to say I appreciate you for chopping it up with me, you know, and let your listeners know this was my idea. I offered, you know, so I didn't. Once your listeners think you just trying to pour more gas on this whole me versus Obsidian fire,
okay.
That was my suggestion. You just can find me at directapproachdating.com. That's my main site for men. Directapproachdating as one word .com. My site for women and couples is mode1.net/training. Mode1.net/training. You can find all my books on Amazon.com and all my audiobooks on Audible.com. And I do have an active YouTube channel and a Patreon.com page. Patreon.com/MODEONEMODE1.
Okay, what is that YouTube channel? What is that title?
Oh, my YouTube channel is just under Author Alan Roger Curry. Author AlanRoger. CURRIE, author Alan Roger Curry.
Okay, well, damn.
I have a Wikipedia page, too.
Oh, really? Okay. Big time in it. That's what's up. All right, Alan, man. Appreciate you, man, reaching out to me, man. Oh, man, this was a pleasure, man. Really appreciate it, man. And, you know, I'm going to have to go on record as, you know, I love your stuff, and I love Obsidian stuff as well, man. So, I don't know, maybe one day, you know, you two can, I don't know, patch things up. I don't know, man, but, you know, I enjoy both of you guys, you know, your commentary, man. So this is the Fat Mac, the almighty Triple XL, coming at y'all live and direct from MacCity.com, and we out, and we out, and we
out. MacCity.com, you're up next. Big Mike.
I think it's Monica or something. Excuse me, like Triple XL. Cool dude. I've been kind of chatting with this dude through emails. Very cool cat. I've been reading his website. He's got a lot of stories back there. The one thing I like about his site, because I do not like porn sites just to go look at a bunch of naked ass bitches. This dude has stories about how he met the bitch, how he talked to the bitch, what he said to the hoe. The whole nine yards. He's got stories about how he didn't have any money, but the bitch was calling saying, I want to model for you, because he's well known in his town for you know, having bitches modeling for him. And he was like, man, I ain't got no motherfucking money. but I bet you I can get a free fucking shoot out this bitch. And sure enough, he gets a free photo shoot out the bitch, posted on the net, and got paid. Very, very, very close to some pippin there, son.
Come on, she just come down.
This is deep. I'm going deep.
I don't really wanna feel like I'm in a daze, so I smoke big kill just to deal with the ills. Life is flipping on me, trip. My skills ain't paying bills, and it's messing with me and my grip. I drink that Saint Ange and smoke a ticket at the same time. Drop a wicked bomb on my naughty nature. I'm living foul like a nigga about the trick. I'm not that woman asleep, but I'm lost. Trying to come up off women type thing. And if I don't react the way he won't, he might swing his little dick stuff back in another direction. Then don't even use protection. I hate foolishness that people can't avoid. Yo, and if worse came to worse, I run abroad on unemployed. Cause who the hell cares that I got gray hairs and can't sleep? Know what I mean?
I'm going deep.
Every now and then I start tripping and get to thinking on the deep tip behind all that bull that I shoot at people.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But after I'm evil and I'm hip to every chick trying to get a grip and every wanna be back trying to stack. But yo, bump that. And I say bump that with my mighty middle finger. I'm heavy off and do this rap thing, fucking singers. Yo, I think I'm getting tense. Cause my dollars ain't making nobody sense. But then again, it's probably all that chronic that I smoked. I used to be like that when I was out there slanging dope. And lately I've been flipping on some old paranoid. Like looking suckers up and down, trying to stalk. Cause I'm a heart.
So why don't you just soften up?
I try to be cool, but I get caught up when I go to club. Straight up, I don't even trust myself.
Yo, you can trust me.
How you figure that?
I'm just like you.
Why?
That fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Qatar. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice.
Reaching for higher ground. Reaching for higher ground.
MacCity.com. You're up next. You're up next. You're up next.
Imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Katar. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice.